Surprise, listeners. Bet you thought you'd heard the last of me this month. JK, I'm back. It's Connor. And I want to pop in before this amazing episode with Rob Houchin to tell you that we have more drama for you. And it's not an extra episode today, but it's extra episodes that are on our Patreon because we release multiple extra every single month on Drama Plus, our bonus content platform. Not only do you get extra episodes when you become a member, but you also get access to our close friends. It's so fun over there. I mean, we're truly unhinged. If you feel like you don't get enough of us from this show, you gotta go to the Drama Plus hub. Patreon.com/thedramapodcast, where you get access to those extra episodes, you get access to close friends, and you make Connor and Dylan McDowell the happiest twins that ever did live. You're in for a treat today. You know we love the British on drama and in life, and we got Rob Houchin. So listen to this episode, tell all your friends about it, follow us everywhere, subscribe everywhere, rate us 5 stars everywhere, and again, make us super happy. All right, we love you. Goodbye. Actually, I'll see you in a second. Enjoy the show.
Press play.
Curtain of an hour in.
It's time to take spin.
The shade and tea to spill.
Ooh, drama.
Oh, that's a tweet. Did they book?
Who got nom?
They option no.
Oh, I'm not well.
What star will we talk to today? Oh, that's a gag, honey.
Say no more.
Drama.
Drama. Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater.
Pop culture
love
and life.
I am Connor McDowell.
And I am Dylan McDowell.
Dylan, how are you today on this wonderful Friday?
I'm good. I feel like summer is upon us. We have so much good music, and that always to me like kind of sets the tone of like the season that we're in, you know?
Well, I mean, new Beyoncé, new Taylor, new Dua, Kacey Musgraves, Maggie Rogers, Billie Eilish is coming. Isn't Lana Del Rey doing a country album?
Oh, I don't know about that. You know, I'm
I
not a
think she
Lana girl.
is.
You know I'm not.
I know you're not. I think she is, because I think the vibe was country, but I need to know, when is Katy Perry coming back? She's been teasing stuff online that, like, you know,
I did see
she's leaving
that.
American Idol. Her Vegas residency's done.
Yes. The
It's been a
prison that was
while.
American Idol for her. You know, the check must have been good, you know.
I'm sure it was millions.
Oh, for sure. I think when J-Lo did American Idol back and it's like when the flagship series was airing. I think it
Oh,
was like
yeah.
15 million a
Oh my
season.
God. That's
I
wild.
know. But yeah,
That's
I think she
wild.
is coming because she posted like that she wasn't at the Met Gala because there was like an AI image of her there. And then
That
she was
was
like,
crazy. Yeah, I fell for it. I'll be honest.
it looks pretty real. But she was like, I'm too busy in the studio. And then she did post a cowboy hat emoji or she said yeehaw or something, which I don't know
Okay.
if I need another country album. I think it's been fun. The girls have been having
Cowboy
fun.
Katie.
Cowboy Katie. Actually, that's kind of fun.
I'm ready for her. She's underrated at this point. I feel like people don't remember the Teenage Dream sensation.
Yeah.
They're still bops. They still hit.
And they still play on the radio, which is like what's so interesting. I remember when we had Bonnie McKeon, who wrote a lot of her songs,
Oh,
we were able to talk
yeah.
about like the lasting impact. I want them back in the studio together. That's what I want.
Need. Also, I'll just say this, Never Really Over didn't get its due. That is
No.
such an incredible pop song.
A summer anthem, if there ever was one.
I know. I actually want to get our guest's take on some of these pop albums because listening to him sing pop songs is incredible. And he releases a lot of them online.
He knows what the people want.
Absolutely.
Wait, but Connor, I want to take you to a place, okay?
Okay.
You and I and our iconic London trip that changed everything.
Oh, the one we don't stop talking about.
Right, the one in 2023, January. One night we got back to our hotel and we had our McDonald's that we got after being out and about wherever we were, probably heaven. And we put on the television and the Les Mis concert was playing. And so we had to let it
Oh
play.
my God, you're right. I feel like it was on every night for some reason in my memory.
Yes. And our guest was in it. And I remember
That's
thinking, oh my God,
gaggy.
I love him. And you're like, wait, me too.
I
And it was then
know.
that we hatched the idea to have him on drama.
Oh my God.
But so it goes, the moment needs to be right, you know?
The moment is right because he's coming to New York. Y'all, our guest today is the West End golden boy who splashed onto the scene as Marius in Les Miserables, cementing him as a star, baby. Now, on June 10th, he'll be making his New York solo debut at Chelsea Table and Stage. If you've seen a show across the pond in the last decade, you've seen him shine. Stage credits include South Pacific as Lieutenant Cable, City of Angels with Vanessa Williams, Sondheim's Old Friends, Les Mis, the stage concert. Eugenius, Light in the Piazza, Marry Me a Little, Candide, Godspell in Concert, Peter Pan, Titanic, and more. Television and film appearances include Tony in West Side Stories, the making of a classic on the BBC, the aforementioned Les Mis stage concert, and The Red Zone. He's also a solo artist with original music that can be found on all major streaming platforms, including his UK Top 40 EP entitled RH, Within Reach, Live at Cadogan Hall, and A Happy Houchmas. We're chuffed to have this English lad on the pod today. Please welcome to Drama, Rob Houchin.
Hello. How's it going?
So well. So good. How are you?
So good. Wow, that was, you really bigged me up there. I have to say, there was things that I'd forgotten I'd even done that you said. I was like, okay, that was actually a good memory to be reminded of. So thanks for that. And also the diction was just on point.
Oh my God. Anything you're like, you. Oh, I wish they would have left that off. Anyways, we'll move on.
I'm sure.
We'll move on to that.
Yes.
Right. Rob, we need to check in with you. Are you well?
I am well. Thank you. I always love it because if I say to an American, you okay? Like they suddenly think, why do I not seem okay? It's just a classic British American lost in translation thing. They was like, what? Why? What's wrong? And I'm like, no, that's my saying, are you well? Like, are you good? Like, so I have to remember. So I like that you asked that. I was like, yes, I am well, very very much so. Thank you. Are you?
I am well. Other than, as we discussed before recording, I did have my eyebrows threaded yesterday and she attacked me and I have a war wound between my eyeball and my eyebrow. But other than that, I'm well. Thank you for asking.
I can confirm it's hardly noticeable.
That's true.
I'm expressive though, so when I raise my eyebrows, I'm like, oh man. There it is.
That'll go though. It'll go. If not, just a bit of concealer and a dream.
I was going to say, concealer would fix that up. No
concealer
problem
and
at
a
all.
Dream.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I am well. I'm feeling great. We were talking about these pop divas at the beginning of the show. Do you have a favorite new album that came out recently of some of these gals, the Beyoncés, the Duas, the Taylors?
Ooh, okay. So yeah, I don't want to ruffle feathers, but everyone's entitled to their opinion. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to have mine. And I have to say, Dua's album, obviously it's the most recent. It's very, I actually really like.
Yeah.
I have to say that Falling Forever is a great song and These Walls is a great song. I long for like the Don't Start Now and the Physical and like, do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. And so I'm maybe missing a couple of those. Beyoncé can do no wrong ever. So there's some hits on there. I have to say it's like the longest album in the whole world.
It is. I always start at the beginning and I find that I neglect the second half because I don't get that far. And then the next time I listen, yeah. I start at the beginning again.
Yeah, it's so true. It's so true. But yeah, I say Beyoncé's like, and also I'm into country, but I did hear you say earlier that, you know, it is getting a bit like, come on, someone just keeps doing country like now. we've had like 20 million songs by Beyonce in the country style, so we're okay for a bit.
Yes,
and I just did West End Does Country. My company did a country concert, and I, so I've had my fill of country at the moment.
What did you perform?
What did I do? I did Smoky Mountain Memories, which is because David Archuleta did a version on Idol, and ever since he did it, I've always wanted to sing it. So that was a little dream come true for me, because I can sing what I want because it's my company. So I just,
right. Wait, David Archuleta is being thotty online right now.
Oh, really?
Have you seen? Mm-hmm. He posts like thirst traps and stuff.
He's
yeah.
wilding out because he came out. I don't know if he's queer, bi, I don't know what the situation is, but he's living his true life
great.
Now that he's left the Mormonism behind. Yeah.
I'm literally like, as we're talking, gonna go on Instagram and search. Is it on Instagram? Is that what I'm looking for here?
I've seen it on Twitter.
Definitely on Twitter. Here, I can try
oh,
to find
Twitter.
It.
Twitter. Yeah. I love that you still call it Twitter and you don't conform to the name X. We just don't we don't go there.
I really don't. I can't get into it. But I heard someone refer to it as, instead of tweeting, zeeting. And I said that we've gone too far as a society, if that's what we're calling
yeah,
it.
Yeah. I'm like, listen.
Wait, Rob, look.
Oh, wow. Okay. I yeah, know. He's really getting that just out of the shower vibe.
I know. He's dewy and I know. Looks good.
I bet he gets a lot of, you know, attention, a lot of crushes. Yeah. I'm giving you like, yeah, I'm giving
well
you
done.
The yeah title drop.
Yes.
Very well
done. A legendary bop.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, so your company is called West End Does?
Well, yeah, it started off as West End Does because I just wanted to do like themed concerts that were really fun. And it was when I was out of work and my friends that were out of work too. I said, we should just get together and like do something to keep creative and keep fulfilled and sing. And so I set up this company and put on concerts, and then it kind of grew. And now with Chorus Productions, and West End Does is a brand of that. So we do other things too. And like sometimes we do musicals and concert, like we did Children of Eden. We did like right. a a Stephen Schwartz birthday concert that was really cool, and he came and he played, and yeah, so it's bigger than it sometimes seems I can handle, but I have a great team. My mom is actually on the team, and my friends, and yeah, so yeah, it's very,
oh my god, it's a family affair.
It is, but yeah, it's great. It's, I love it, and we get to put on, like, you know, these themes like country or whatever. That's the last one we did. We really got into it. I'll tell you that we did.
That's so interesting because, of course, like, country is very much an American style of music. Yes. I love that it's crossed over. Like,
I will say that, you know, we announced this before Beyonce released the album. I just want to emphasize that, but yeah, it was something. My mom loves country music, and so do I. But it is more an American thing, I find. I think it's more like the regions here, but London, we did find London people were more occupied probably with the poppy shows. I was like, come on guys, have a bit of faith in the country. But I think in America we'd have been very popular because like Carrie Underwood, I mean, do you remember when she won American Idol?
Oh
what yeah. a time She's to be alive.
Right.
I love that we're in like the idol chat right now. Like
I know. Yeah, I'm revealing, aren't I? I'm really revealing.
Did you ever go for X Factor or The Voice or anything over there?
You're opening a can of worms here. I used to go when I started singing when I was about 16. Then obviously my mum was like, you should do X Factor. Everyone says that. So I queued up and I did that twice. And you queue for hours and hours and hours. And then you go to a booth, and then I got through round after round until the producer's round, and then they said, you know, they send you a letter, or then the next time it was an email, you know, times were getting techno, and it was like, you know, you haven't got through to the judges because of this and this, and no feedback, just like, not this time. And it was always, I thought, because I didn't have any kind of story really, it was just I like to sing. But I then, as like when I was in Titanic, when I was at Charing Cross Theatre in Titanic, this is after doing Les Mis, I had a friend who knew the producers, and he said, you know, I can kind of get you to skip around and go straight to the producers. So I did. And then I got to the judges, and I went at midnight on a Saturday night after doing 8 shows that week. I went at midnight. They lit it like it was daytime. So you never know when you watch those shows what time of day it is. Yeah. And I was in front of Simon and whoever that year was, I think, but I know it was Nicole's year, because I got through, but only after Simon had said, oh, you're acting too much in your song. And I was like, I sang Love in the Dark by Adele, classic. Classic me singing Adele. But I was like, you know, he's like, I'm acting too much. And I was like, you just know I'm an actor and you're trying to out me. And I was like, okay. So I sang again, and they all said yes, and I got through. And then I went into this little pod, and they were like, oh, aren't you just so inspired by Nicole? And I was like, yes, I guess. I was like, okay. And then I never went back because I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do it because it just felt weird inside. You know, like my gut feeling was just not with it. I was like, I just don't feel like, I feel like they're going to control me in a way that I don't want to be. Like, they're not going to run with how I present myself. They're probably going to like, so I just thought it was going to be worse for me than it could be better. Who knows what would have happened.
Fair.
I've got so many amazing friends that have been on that show, like, yeah, and done so well, and that I've been in shows with and done concerts with, so you know, I have nothing against it at all, but it just wasn't for me.
It's just heavily produced, like, especially in like the later years, like I'm sure, like that season that you're talking about,
yeah,
like I really feel like it wasn't as raw as it was in the earlier days when Cheryl Cole was on, and
yeah,
you know,
yeah, we know. we lost touch
yeah.
But it was like, it was funny because I also get asked to do The Voice quite a few times, and I'm like, you know, that seems like it could be fun. I've got friends who've done that too, but also it seems incredibly nerve-wracking. Like, I just think I'd be so nervous. I'd love to do it because I like the idea of singing what you want and then being able to like change the keys and change the styles and everything, and like, and I love the knockout rounds and stuff, and I think all that would be cool if you like were able to be yourself,
right?
But I just get scared that they control you and you wouldn't feel comfortable. And I don't know, I just think that like the freedom, it would be lost. And that's just such a shame, you know, but it is tempting, especially when you know that, like, you know, if you get far on it, then you can go into a show after and get paid double.
Right. Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. Then they can say The Voices, you know, as seen on The Voice or something.
Yeah,
like
exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Well, what I love about you though, is that you really do have control of your own career. I mean, like when you mentioned, like you put on these concerts, and Connor mentioned you release all this stuff on Spotify and on different music platforms.
Yeah.
Like, you really go for it and have the full storyline that you want to put out there. And I think that's really respectable. You don't just wait for things to happen.
Yeah. No. And I do think that, like, what's meant for you won't pass you by. And I do, I think when it comes to like acting work, I try not to get, you know, we've all had those rejections where you like are bawling to your mum on the phone because you're like, I just wanted it so bad. Like, and then you're like, but I normally try and let that pass because I'm like, it's not meant to be, something else will come along. And it does in the end. And then in between that, I just have to keep excited by my craft and like try and keep everything flexed and do the things that I would want to do if I, you know, was in a show and couldn't, you know what I mean? And so like write music or like record music, put on shows, put on concerts, whatever. And I'm very lucky. Like I never take it for granted. I'm very lucky that somehow along the way in the last, what, 12 years or so of being out of college, I've accumulated friends in like, you know, as in like producers and stuff and of concerts and things that hire me. So I'm able to do this, like, and actually earn money and live off it. Sometimes by the skin of my teeth, but live off it. So yeah, I'm lucky to be able to do that and then like, and be able to like fund the kind of side things as well that I want to do just from like making friends like in this world, do you know what I mean, like making connections and stuff. So yeah, I'm grateful for that.
That's great. When are you at your happiest? Is it when you're in a musical? Is it when you're gigging it with concerts? What's your fave?
When am I at my, on holiday? No, I'm joking.
I feel like you were just on holiday, weren't you, somewhere fun?
Maybe. I was actually in Mexico working for a company, a resort, yeah, for Atlantis. I was doing, I sing for one day, so I'm not, let's not pretend here, it kind of was mostly a holiday.
That's fine.
It was so good. But yeah, so they're the kind of jobs that I just adore. But I'm most happy, yes, when I'm bringing myself into a role and you're just opening a show and like finding your feet with it. And like, it's, you got good houses and you're feeling good about your voice. And, you know, there's a buzz and you feel like fulfilled by the show. I think that's like when I'm like, ah, yeah. And I'm having my morning coffee and I'm thinking, yeah, I'm excited to do the show tonight. I think that's when I'm like my most happy in this career.
Oh, that's really great. I love to hear that. Okay. And wait, we kind of danced around it. You're going to be making your New York stage debut.
Yes. Oh my God. Yeah. I'm so excited. Because you know what? I knew I was going to be around in town and I was like, do you know what? I've always wanted to do it. And my friend Emma Kingston is doing hers on the 9th. The day before at 54 Below. And I was like, you're so inspiring. I'm going to do it too. Well, I thought of it anyway. And I was like, I'm going to do it. So I thought, why not like bite the bullet? Because I know that I do a lot of gigs here and I'm used to that, but there is something extra daunting about doing it overseas. Cause you know, it's like, I don't know, do people know who I am? Do they care? Do they want to come and see it? But I do love being myself on stage. I think it's a skill that a lot of people want to learn and you should try and have, is like how to be that version of yourself. Not like, obviously sometimes, you know, I'm not going to get up there and maybe say all the things I'd say behind closed doors, but you know, find this version of yourself where you can feel relaxed and talk to the audience and you know, yeah, drop your guard a little bit. And I'm so used to the gigs, I thought, you know what, yeah, I'm going to do it. And I'm very excited. And I've got some guests confirmed, which I might let you know about. I'm greedy and I'm going to try and get a few, but
good.
There's a couple that I did just confirm. I think Lucy LaFontaine is going to join me.
Oh my God.
Because she's a good friend from when she did Moulin Rouge here and Dreamgirls. And I love her voice so much. It's just, and she's just done, Gone in Power. And she said, yeah. And I was like, oh, I missed it. But, I'm hopefully that'll get some life and I can come and see that if it gets further life. But she's just such a force and I just love her as a person. So I was like, come along. And also I couldn't resist because, well, Emma Kingston will be singing with me because that we're just like partners in crime. But I've also got a couple of other ones that I want to confirm near the time. So that are very exciting. I know I'm being greedy having all these guests, but you know, the more the merrier, I say.
Absolutely.
You're making it so fun.
It's going to be an epic night. I mean, you're bringing a little West End flavor. What kind of song selections can audiences expect?
Well, for me, like with my song choice, I'm always greedy too. I don't keep it to like one theme. I love pop, like you were saying, and I love soul music. I always have, even though I didn't start singing till, you know, about 16, I always listened to a lot of music. I used to draw a lot in my room and that's like I'd have it on the side, was doing that. So I'm definitely going to have some pop in there as well as the classic theatre. And I'm going to have some like taste of what I've done, you know, a bit of Les Mis, a bit of Piazza. Like, in the Piazza was just one of the best jobs I've ever done. It's such a beautiful, beautiful score. So a little bit of that. But yeah, I think just all those songs that I hope that a musical theatre loving audience would want to hear. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And even the pop is like songs that are absolute bangers. That's what I call it, absolute bangers. Like when you're just like, ah, like, I don't know if I'll do it because it's going to be me, a piano, maybe cello, but like just gonna be quite stripped back. But sometimes when I get a four-piece band, I like to do Since You've Been Gone. I mean, what a banger. Kelly Clarkson, she's just the bomb. She's the best.
Yes.
Back to American Idol.
I know. I feel like we've been sponsored.
I know, right?
They don't need this.
Right.
And Rob, what about Eva Noblezada? Do you think she could sing with you?
So I did ask, but she's got, my hair is going crazy. She's got a show. She's got a show.
Yes.
She's got a show that night.
Do you think you'll get to see her do it?
Yeah, I'm going to go. Yeah, I've already spoken to her. So I'll go. I don't know which one I'm going to go because it's pre-Tony's, isn't it? It's the week. It's like, heavy. So I spoke to Shoshana as well. And I was like, I need to come and see you do your show. And she was like, I would sing that at your gig, but it's Tony's week. And I'm like busy, like literally run off the ground. She's got so many things to do because she's nominated, which of course she is. Cause she's a star. So I can't wait to see
her second nomination.
I know. Mm-hmm. I reckon third time's a charm. I reckon that'll be the winner.
Okay.
I think third time will be a charm and it'll be in the lead category for whatever the next one is. You know,
I wonder what it would be. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She can do anything.
I know.
I love that you're just casually friends with Shoshana Bean.
Yeah, she's such a babe. I love her so much.
Mm-hmm. I know. She's a legend. I wish I could hear you sing together.
Yeah, we did. What did we do? She did a Christmas concert here and I sang in it. But I was so nervous and I felt like I wasn't like my best, but I would like to sing with her. Do you know what I mean? Like, saying something.
Oh yeah,
like really go for gold. I mean, we did a little bit when I stayed with her here and there, but it was mainly like, yeah, it was at Thanksgiving and she looked after me. It was so nice. Yeah.
Oh my goodness, I love it. Well, everyone's got to get their tickets. I think there's just a few left at this point because this is going to come out a little bit close.
And Rob, guess what? I'll be there. I'm coming.
Yes.
So
good. It'd be nice to see you in person. Do you have any requests?
Ooh, I'll put together a little list and send it to you.
A list? You want a whole set list of requests? Okay, well then I can choose. I can choose.
You'll choose from the list. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay, good.
And I'll be tuning in from the live stream, okay? How about
that? Okay, good. Yes. We'll sort that. We'll sort something.
I saw that option's available.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm curious about when you got into performing in general. You mentioned, you know, you didn't, going back when you got into some of your musical influences, but we call it Ring of Keys on this show because we like to borrow that from Fun Home. We think of it as maybe a moment where you were watching something, participating in something that made you realize, oh my God, I identify with this. I need to be a part of it. Do you feel like you had a Ring of Keys moment?
I don't feel like it was a specific moment, but in my life, like when I had an aunt that used to teach me how to paint and play piano every couple of weeks. And I feel like she was the kind of, because like, God bless, my mum can't sing. Well, sometimes I'm like, hang on, is there a voice there? But I'm pretty sure it's just a fluke. And my dad can't either. So I think it's from like around her that I got that kind of like musical influence. And I always say that like it's stuck with me. About specific moments, I was already going to go to college because I was like, I'd done amateur dramatics and then I went and did a summer school at Sylvia Young and one of the teachers there said, come to GSA, which is where I ended up training, and have a look at the place and see if you like it, bring your mom and come and view the singers group that I do. And he ran this group where like, you know, you audition for it and if you were particularly good at singing and like whatever, then you then sang around the town at different events and whatever, which I also did end up doing naturally because I was like, I've got to be in singers. But I watched singers and I remember going, oh my God, everyone can sing to this level. I'd never seen that before. Like Amdram was fun, but like, you know, and everyone could sing there, but this was like singing. And I was like, whoa, I need to be a part of this. That was when I really was like, okay, this is my home. This is where I need to be. And yeah, from then on, I was very lucky. I had the best training. And yeah, I was like everything. I was a blank canvas for them. So I guess they kind of enjoyed it. But yeah, I got great parts and everything. It was all systems go from there. But I do remember being like, I can't remember what the song was. They were singing, I'm going to find out. There was a song they were singing together. And I was like, oh, it was so good.
Oh, I love that. And then you were a part of this like community then.
Yeah.
Other people. Was it competitive?
No, it wasn't competitive. It was just literally, it was kind of random, but it was competitive to get in. And once you got in, they put a list up. They were like, the list is up. And then you went and saw who was in singers. And I was like, I'm in. And then people that weren't were like crying. And I was like, so sorry. But yeah, then we literally just went to like old people's homes and stuff. And we were doing like just random songs. Like I ended up singing I Who Have Nothing. So camp. Oh. Like walking into the middle. Like, so yeah.
You know who has an iconic version of that song is Mary Byrne, who did X Factor UK. Do you remember her?
Oh my God. Yes, she does. I do. See,
an iconic
see we're giving the TV talent show chat. This is what right. This podcast episode is about. Right. TV talent shows. David Archuleta.
Simon Cowell better give us a check at this point.
I know.
Okay?
I'm like, the more I speak about it, I'm like, I should have gone on there so I could talk about it in this podcast.
Anyways, well, I'm sure that's great experience too. Even if you're going to old folks' homes and things like that, I'm sure you're getting so much under your belt of experience.
Yeah, do you know what? It was so moving as well. Yeah, like things like that. And also, you're not doing it for money, and you're not doing it for like a grade. You're just doing it for the fun of it. So that was really nice. Like, you know, singing "Being Alive" like with all your friends, like in harmony. I mean, it's just, you know, it's the campus dream. We just love it.
I have like an annoying singery question, but Rob, you can really get up there. I mean, you have such a wide range. When did you first realize you could sing like that? I know that's such an annoying question, but it's serious. Like, you can belt.
It's a funny one. It's like, I don't know. I guess it was actually when I first sang, which was in an after school thing when I was 16 at sixth form college. It was my friends going, let's go do musical theater. It was called Enrichment. Let's do musical theater because everything else is boring. And I was like, okay, because we wanted a laugh. We wanted to do it for kind of jokes, really. And then they were like, can you sing Don't Stop Me Now? Now, that's a high song. And I just sang it, and I don't know, it just was fine. And they were like, oh, you could actually really sing. And I was like, can I? And it was like this weird moment. So I kind of, it sounds really bad, but have had that ability. But I will say that, like, I've trained it more and more. And when I was in Eugenius, I had to mix a lot, and I started the show really concerned about like being able to hit the notes, and my voice changed and grew so much, and I think it like really made me realize how I could mix and how I could make this sound. In terms of like being able to sing high though, yeah, I just feel like I think I just always used to try and imitate women.
Yeah.
When I could listen. Yeah. So like I feel like maybe I don't know, that and paired with some, I don't know, good natural anatomy, it just worked.
Totally.
That tracks. I mean, you slay. I'm literally, when you mentioned Adele, Love in the Dark earlier, like, do you have a version of that out there? Because I need to hear it.
Not out there, but there's a video, but it's good, but it's not like good. I think I could do it better. So I'd like to do it again. Okay, maybe. I'll do it again for you.
That's my request. That's my request for June 10th. Okay. Okay.
Oh, okay. Great.
We'll see if it fits in. Okay. And then did Les Mis happen shortly after you finished at GSA?
Yes. I actually went to work in Harrods. Yes, which was like what people did when you left college. You were like, let's go and work for a recruitment place where they put you in Harrods and like John Lewis and that. But I went into Harrods and I worked, and then I did this job where I got a job where I traveled around Germany singing with 11 other tenors. And that's actually a funny point, because when I started drama school, they put you into vocal groups, and my vocal group was high baritone. He put me in high baritone, and I was like, okay, because I didn't really know. And then the more I sang, they were like, why are you in this group? You're a tenor. And I was like, am I? I don't know. I don't know music. I can't read music. I don't know notes. And they were like, yes, you're a tenor. And I was like, okay. So then I was like, I just did what I said. But yeah, I was in the 12 tenors, we were called. That's when I had to audition for Les Mis, when I was traveling around Germany, flying back and forth for five rounds to do Les Mis. So it wasn't the year of graduating. It was like the following year. And and I got it, and I stayed there for a hell of a long time, for like 3 years, because I was loving life.
I mean, when you get a show like that, though, why would you, you know, leave? It's...
Yeah. Do you think people can be like that? And you can get a bit like... not stuck in a bad way, just like, yeah, stuck in the groove, and you're just like, and then you are like, oh, do I dare take the risk and jump and leave? And in the end, I did. Me and Carrie were in it for Carrie Hope Fletcher, my good friend, we were in it for the same amount of time exactly. We joined and left at the same time. Yeah, so it was quite cute. It was like a moment for us. So yeah, I don't regret how long I stayed, because also I bought a house, so you know, we moved.
There you go. And so you were Marius that whole time?
The whole time. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's like 1,000 shows, I think.
What do you feel like the biggest lesson you learned from those 3 years was?
Not to be so hard on yourself, I think, because that's really easily done. You can, if you don't sing a note right, you get the words wrong. You're like, oh my God, 1,200 people just, you know, saw me do that. And this music is so iconic. This show is iconic. And I really want to, like, you know, just put a lot of pressure on yourself. And I just think, you know, we're all human and it's live theater. So don't be so hard on yourself. And my voice would get tired and I'd want to still do the show. And it's okay to take a day off. Do you know what I mean? It's absolutely fine because I'm very much a perfectionist. So I just didn't want to do that. And I'm like, oh my God, everyone remembers their first, if they're playing like a big role, they'll remember their first day off from illness, just from like that joke. Cause you're all like your that my first ever one. Cause it's my first musical ever. So like when I first took that sick day off, I was like, oh my God, just like, woe is me. Do you know what I mean? I'm a failure.
Yeah.
It's just very funny. But actually in the end, I'm like, no, it's fine. The world turns. Do you know what I mean? So I think that, yeah, not to look too deep into it and be so hard on yourself, I think.
Yeah. You know, you're so young. You're doing your first show, the West End. Were you still able to find a social life balance, like still going out at all or being
honest
that you were at Freedom Bar?
Yes. I was at Freedom Bar, correct. just across the road, and they still know me now.
Oh.
I always talk about how, like, when I was young and unafraid, I was able to just go out all the time. And obviously that show is, that role doesn't go too high. So like I would abuse that fact and definitely be out, you know, dancing and singing and drinking as, you know, and not like, and I didn't want to not have a life when I'm in the show, you know, which sometimes is, you don't have a choice. If you're playing some roles, you literally can't have a life.
Yeah.
I know I was talking to Rob McClure about Doubtfire and how like, and just, it must be crazy. Because you just go to bed and you're like so tired and you get up and you have to get ready to do the show again. Like, it must take you your whole life. It's such a big role.
Yeah.
That's why he's taking his wife out on the road with him. He's like, you know what? Yeah. Come with me.
Yes. That makes sense. I would do that. So I feel like, yeah, I definitely managed to find time. But it's so weird. I did it for so long. It becomes part of my everyday for so long. Like, you just know that, you know, at 5:30, you've got to go or whatever. You get the train. Like, you can't do anything unless you're on holiday, like in the evenings.
So when you finally made the decision to leave, was there another project lined up or are you just like, time for the next?
No, that was what was scary. They actually asked me if I wanted to do, they were doing like a Manila or like an international tour.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, no. I was like, stop it. I was like, stop. You know, when you're like a little bit tempted, like when someone's like, here, have this cake. And I'm like, it's like, because I was like, I need to wrap it up in a bow for now. And that was when I was really out of work actually for a bit, because everyone boxed me in that bracket of like, all you can do is legit and Marius and stuff. And maybe I did sound quite legit. I thought I could do other stuff, to be honest, but I went in for things and they were like, no, you sound too lame. And then sometimes I'd be like, well, just give me the note and then I'll change my voice. Yeah. Type, like my voice sound for you. But yeah, they were very quick to categorize me. So that was quite difficult. And that's when I started the business and like,
okay,
kind of like started trying to like do things like that. And then I got Titanic, which was still in the same league kind of thing. And then I got Eugenius. And that's when it changed things, because I was like, look, I could do pop, guys. Do you know what I mean?
What was Eugenius?
It was a musical about a comic book loving geek. It's quite clever because this world kind of comes to life out of his comic. But then, oh yeah, it's a tricksy like paradox. But then he becomes in it, but then he's not. But he's got these two friends and they're geeks together. And he creates this hero called Tough Man. It's great music. It's written by a guy called Ben Adams, the music, who was in A1, which is like a band, like he used to have curtains like I've got right now. And and I remember being like, this is so cool. They'd already opened it here and then they were redoing it. And I was like, oh, this is so good for me. And it was very high. And I was like, you know, I'll give it a go. So, you know, I went in and sang it and then they were like, you know, we want you to do it. And I was like, this is such a gift. Thank you so much. And the music, I think it could have had such life. It did have life. It's been back again, but I think you could have gone to the West End. We nearly did. The music is like those pop hits, kind of like sixes. People.
Oh, fine.
The last night was unlike anything I've ever been in. The cult following with people doing all moves and everything. Yeah, it was crazy. I loved it.
Yeah, I saw a clip of you singing from it on, yeah. I don't know if it was your Instagram or what. And I was like, yeah, this hits.
Yeah.
Absolute bangers, as you said.
Absolute banger. Yeah.
Okay, more recently, you did the Sondheim Old Friends.
Yes.
On the West End, right?
Yeah.
What did you sing in that?
I sang a bit of West Side Story because I did that, which you so kindly mentioned earlier, the West Side Story documentary, making it a classic, which they do tend to play like every New Year or Christmas, which is good promo for me, but I just got a buyout, so I'm regretting I didn't get royalties. But here we are.
Yeah.
I'll get royalties in the form of, you know, promo. But I did the quintet. I also did a bit of Henrik in Little Night Music, which is actually a role that I'd love to play.
Yeah.
And then we just did so many hits. So like Sweeney Todd, Into the Woods, Waiting for the Girls Upstairs with Brad.
I love Follies.
To be with Bradley again, my best friend who I was in Les Mis with and did the concert with. So it was really cool. It was a really cool event. And then I got to go and see it when I moved to town. I was like, could like, you know, have a drink and enjoy it and know every word.
You know, it's going to be coming over here.
Yes, I have heard this. Have they announced who's in it?
It's definitely Bernadette Peters and Lea Salonga.
Yes,
and Rob Houchin is definitely going to also be included on that list. If you have anything to say about it.
Yeah, I mean, get me an exchange program. Someone.
Right.
Maybe I need to go and sweet talk into Cameron's ear just to get my little New York break.
He's still holding it against you that you didn't go to Manila for him though, Rob. I mean,
maybe he is. I don't know what to do. I'll say, please, Cameron, please. Yes, I would love to be in it again, but I will say I quite like the fact that I just did it that one gala time, that one special time that they recorded. It's quite a nice memory. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, totally. Okay, another quick question. So you were in City of Angels.
Yes, I was.
But how many performances did y'all even get to do?
Oh, don't. See, I say it was 9, but some people say a different number. But I don't know why I had the number 9. We didn't get to press 9.
Oh.
I know. I had a great outfit, but then I wore it for South Pacific, so it's fine. But
okay, perfect.
But I loved that show. And do you know what? It was just my role, I will say it now, wasn't the biggest role. And I doubled up with the crazy like Scientologist doctor who died. And then I had to get on, God, what are they called? That metal like dead person's bed thing. I had to get on one of those. Yeah. In just a dance belt painted grey every show. Yeah. And then do like this weird comeback to life thing. Honest to God, that was one of those things that every day I was like, I can't wait till this is over. And that I'm not afraid to say that. You know, I was grateful to be there. But I was like, whoa.
Was it just like a body consciousness thing?
Yeah, it was like a bit of that. And just like a bit of like, I then had to shower in the interval. I'm lazy. I was like, I've got to shower this off. And they kept putting more grey paint on me. And I was like, oh, gee. It was such a good show. Vanessa Williams is now a friend and I'm just, I love her so much. I always was a big fan anyway. And she was fantastic. Yeah. It's such a shame. And they tried to, we had loads of Zoom calls about trying to get it in concert after, but it just never happened. But the fact I got to even do 9 shows and some rehearsals with some of those people like Rosie and Hadley and Theo, who I'm now friends with, Theo James. You know, like, yeah, oh it was God. Just really...
Theo James from...
Correct.
From White Lotus. Yeah.
From White Lotus.
Beautiful, beautiful man. He's hunky, so Theo. Yeah. Did you watch The Gentleman? You think he's so good hunky. In The Gentleman?
I have not seen The Gentleman, no.
Did you watch White Lotus?
It's good. Yeah, and I love White Lotus so much. Remember that scene? And I text him being like, is that your Willy?
What do you say?
I'll never tell.
What a tease.
Okay, wait, I've got to ask, when you come into New York, what else is on the agenda? Anything else you're excited to do?
God, yeah. So I'm going to board a ship on the 15th because I'm doing this kind of Olivier Award collaboration theater at Sea Week where like we do like a show and it's pretty cool. So I'm there from the 9th. I'm doing Emma's concert, then I'm doing mine. I'm going to see Ben Platt's concert because he's a friend. I need to see that.
Yeah.
I need to see like Hell's Kitchen, The Notebook.
Yes.
Outsiders, Illinois, Great Gatsby. Like, oh my gosh, there's too many shows.
You'll get
too
it all
many
in.
Friends. I'll come back as well, obviously. But I'm very, I like to, I'm quite meticulous when it comes to planning. So I'm like, okay, I'm really going to have to book this in.
Yeah.
And you know, and a little bit of shopping on the side.
Of course.
Can't resist.
Oh, lots of shopping.
Yeah, it's New York.
Yeah.
That's so fun. Wait, I need to ask about Light in the Piazza. You said it was one of your, you know, that's such a huge, hugely popular score. People love it. It had Dove. It had Renee.
It
what
did.
Was
it
that was... experience like for you?
Oh my gosh. I have to put Les Mis aside because people, I don't know, I feel like they're going to like, mobs will be at my door if I don't say that was my favorite job of all time. But the Les Mis mob. But I have to say, Light in the Piazza is just, it just means so much to me. It was a role I never thought I would end up doing. I didn't think, this sounds really awful, but because I was blonde, I didn't think I'd be able to play it.
Sure.
No, we could have wigs, Rob. But yeah, I'm just like, I just didn't think that they want me to play it. They just get like a dark haired guy. And then they were like, no, actually, like Northern Italians are blonde. And I was like, bingo, great. So I flew back actually from a cruise I did. And I flew back like literally that morning and I went in and sang for them. And what did they say? They were like, oh yeah, now try and get those deep notes at the start. And I'm like, okay, am I not going to have a mic? But I think it was just because it was like an opera vibe. And you know, Renee doesn't need a mic. Lord. She was always like, she was like, yeah, we're not used to mics. And I was like, wow, she's such an icon. I just loved every minute of it. And doing that role, singing those songs with that orchestra, you know, and Adam was there and to meet Dove and to work with Renee. Alex Jennings is now like my second father because he played my dad in it. And yeah, I was very lucky. Yeah, that's why that job, and took me to LA and Chicago and everything. Yeah, so that's something that I would love to do again one day.
I was surprised it didn't come to New York.
I was gunning for it, but I was like, this is the chance I've been waiting for. But then I was also like, maybe they'll cast someone else. That's the thing with British people. You're like, well, what's better for them? Just would they to exchange us or like swap us over or like take us over or just hire an American? I never really know. But I got quite good like feedback from it, from like the LA Times and stuff. So I was like, you know, maybe I've got a chance. But they were doing big, the production company were doing big, big venues. And I wanted it to be like smaller in like a normal size theater. Because then, you know, you can really get involved in it.
Mm. Interesting. That does sound like fun, like a more intimate Light in the Piazza.
Yeah, a little light. Well, just because these were like huge venues, like 3,000 seat venues, like big, yeah, like the Lyric in Chicago. And I'm like really giving you my acting for the back. Do you know what I mean?
I love it. Oh my gosh. Well, Rob, it's been so lovely to chat with you. Been a fan for so long and you're such a lovely, fun guy.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Before we end, we do have to give a little dose of drama. This is that pop culture on your mind, that recommendation, that rant, that rave. Could be what you did last night, what you're doing this evening. Drama could be anything. Dylan, do you want to start us out today with your dose of drama?
We were talking about Vanessa Williams, okay, who we love, and obviously she's going to be doing Devil Wears Prada and everything like that. Yes, she just released a pop single.
Oh, perfect casting.
I don't know if you, have y'all heard it?
She did.
It is?
Legs.
It is amazing. Okay.
And so good.
I saw this tweet that someone said, the other pop girlies better be really scared. And honestly, I can't stop thinking about it. They should be. No one is doing it like her. She is so iconic. She's done so many amazing roles. She has such a crossover audience too. And I really think like, I love that she's out there. She's like maybe 60, maybe even a little bit older, doing it for us all. And I think that everyone needs to go give it a listen. It's really fun. And the video is very fun too.
It's very fun. And did you see the part of the video where she's like behind the table and she's like, oh, I need to show these kids how it's done. And I'm like, I love you. She's an absolute babe.
She is. And you said she's just the loveliest in real life too.
Oh my God. Yeah. Love her. What a babe. She doesn't let you down. Don't worry.
Good. Yeah. Connor, what about you? Dose of drama?
Okay. Well, I made a resolution this year to read one book a month.
Oh, he's a bookworm.
I did great.
That's a lot for him, Rob. Okay.
Well, I'm trying. I used to be such a reader.
I'm rubbish.
Do you read ever?
No. I try. I try. If I get into it, like when I was like, I'm going to read A Little Life, then I like read it.
Okay. That's a big one. That's a big tome of a book.
Yeah, I know. I pat myself on the back at the end of that. But also, as I cried.
That's like three books.
Yeah, as I was just like bawling. I do need to read more. I'm actually reading RuPaul's autobiography at the moment.
House of Hidden Meanings?
It's good.
I read that.
It's good.
Yeah, it's good. It's very good. Yeah.
It's informative, but also I just like the way he says things. It makes me laugh.
I know.
Sometimes it's just so, it's actually so drama. It's like dramatic. Do you know what I mean? The way he says things. Listen, I love it.
I agree. And Ru has sort of always sort of known who he is. It's really interesting to see like the themes from like youth, and it's a good read.
Yeah.
Yeah, I need to read it. But I finished a book called The Secret History by Donna Tartt.
Oh, my God.
Which actually came out 30 years ago.
Funny.
Have you read it?
So we were given it as the book to read before we started drama school. And I still have it.
Oh.
And I read some of it. For some reason, not all of it. But my best friend, Rhea, she was from drama school with me. She's obsessed with it. She was one of the people that did read it, like you were supposed to on the curriculum. And she was like, it's amazing. And so I still want to read it. And I actually even to the point recommended it to someone else, even though I hadn't read it. I was like, I've heard this is great. You should get it. So I actually do have it to read. Did you like it?
Oh my gosh. Well, I'll tell you this. It took me about 100 pages to fully get into it because it's so much setup.
Yeah.
But it really pays off. I thought it was fantastic.
Okay, good.
And I had no idea it was written as long ago as it was because I'm always seeing people on Instagram like, you know, posting it on the beach while they're, you know, yeah, reading or whatever. It's so good. It's honestly crazy. Highly recommend. It did take me 2 months to read it. So that was my March book. So I have a lot of catching up to do.
So you're normally a book a month, but you're giving it a half book a month.
There you go.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
I'll catch up.
If you had to read it for drama school, does it have like a theater tie-in or an acting tie-in?
Don't ask me. I didn't finish it.
Yeah. I know. They're in school together and they take like they're doing like the romance languages, the classics, like, right. I don't want to say too much about it because it's like kind of an interesting setup, but
okay, yeah.
Basically it's about this group of the original tortured poets department, as I like to say.
Oh, nice.
They're okay. Like, yeah, they kind of get involved in some insidious behavior behind the scenes. There's like darkness lingering in this group. So highly recommend. All right, Rob, will you take us home with a dose of drama?
Oh my God. Well, I've been recently, as we've been talking about pop and, you know, like a lot of pop divas or like queens, yeah, I've been listening to Chapel Roan. Do you know Chapel Roan?
Oh yeah.
Everybody was, I'm late to the party, guys.
Okay.
I'm late.
You're here. That's all that matters.
That album is just killer. Honestly, if there's anything that's going to get me through a day at the gym when I really don't want to go, it's Pink Pony Club. I'm like, just pop that on and I'm going to be ready. Mm-hmm. I'll probably be strutting through that gym. There'll be some people looking, but it doesn't matter. It's just, I just feel like I just love Chapel. I'm like, I want to be your friend. I want to hear more music. Yeah, I'm just like, and you've got a fan, you've got a new fan in me. So that's my, and I love the drama, like the drama. You can see there is a lot there.
Oh yeah, she's a theater kid for sure.
Yes, I want to see her on stage giving me theatrical performances. That's what I want. I'd like to think if I was a pop star, like how would I do pop music, I write music, and I'm like, if I took that route, what would be my, you know, aesthetic and my kind of stage, I don't know, vibe? And I definitely think that would be, you know, there'd be some theater there. You know what I'm saying? You know?
I can say. There's a non-album single, like a recent single she released called Good Luck, Babe. Have you heard that song?
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
It alters so my good brain chemistry in a crazy way every time I hear it. I know. Anyways, Rob, this has been such a treat for us. Thank you for chatting with us today.
Me too. Thank you so much. Yeah, lovely to virtually meet you. And Connor, I'll see you on the 10th of June at Chelsea Table and
you
Stage,
know it,
which I'm very excited about.
Yes, which everyone needs to get their tickets. Everyone needs to get their tickets. They're going to be sold out. It's going to be an epic night. Special guests, absolute bangers.
Yes,
just
absolute
get a join
bangers
for all of it. And while everyone, you know, is looking to get their tickets, they should also be following you. I'm sure they do already. Is it just Rob Houchin across the board? Everyone?
Yes. Having a weird name means that I can get all the handles. So at Rob Houchin across the board.
Perfect. And while everyone's following Rob, they've got to follow us. We're at The Drama Podcast. Connor's at Connor McDowell. I'm at Dylan McDowell. Thank you again, Rob, and safe travels to the States.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. And Connor, I will see you next time.
Drama.